Welcome to ATS Mix.
I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
I'd also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
Well, welcome once again. It is the ATS Mix, and I, of course, am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am Dave Rabbit, and we welcome everybody to show 41. We're knocking them out one at a time, Johninator.
That's the way usually an episode goes. One after another, after another, after another. So what's new?
Man, did you happen to listen to the most recent report that we got on the ATS Mix recorder that X left us?
You mean Agent X?
Yeah, X, yeah.
Rather late in getting us our recording, but I listened to it.
Too. But, you know, it's spooky. I think we need to let the members listen and see what they think.
Okay.
I'm a little late giving you the October 2007 stats because I've had to avoid being caught several times. They're getting closer and closer to me, and this may be a very short report. I've seen a lot of trend this time during October 2007, and some of the spookiest groups are spending lots of time looking at some of the older threads. These numbers represent the totals of both members and guests from each of these organizations. First, U.S. House of Representatives, and these were all during weekday work hours, which I thought was kind of weird. 118 visits on 31 different threads. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, 212 visits, with over 50% of them to the main site homepage, 47 others to the different threads. On NASA, 672 visits, all during weekday work hours, and more than 60% of the visits to this particular thread, NASA scientist Ryan Mackey answers ATS questions. The CIA boys had 89 visits, most during the weekends. I haven't really figured that one out yet. They had a big interest in racial riots erupt in Sydney, Australia. Homeland Security had 417 visits, 281 of those to the site homepage alone, 72 visits to this particular thread, Reptilian, Paul McCartney, and Hillary Clinton. There's also surprising interest from the Homeland Security boys in this very old thread, Russia to deploy S-400 missile defenses. The Navy had 1,972 visits, massive interest several times a day in this thread. Navy submarine base under the Nevada desert. If you remember, I said this last report on the last month's stats that I thought this was attributable to John Lear and him making his observations and disclosures of his trip home from the San Jose UFO Expo that you all attended. There's also some odd interest on dozens of visits on a very old thread entitled Stalin's Half-Man, Half-Ape Super Warriors. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base had 572 visits. No one particular thread stands out. They've pretty much gone all over the site. The 5th Signal Command Headquarters, 237 visits to the U.S. Air Raid Kills Iraqi Civilians, including Children thread, and some of them in some of the very old threads on AboveTopSecret.com. The U.S. Central Command, U.S. CENTCOM, had 47 visits to new and old threads. The Pentagon boys had 479 visits. Still a lot of interest, half of all visits, in this thread, the ATS Premium Barksdale Missile No. 6, the stolen nuclear weapon. It remains one of the most visited threads in the entire website. I don't know if this is a trend or not. The Army Information Systems Command Pentagon, 217 visits, 40 visits to the ATS Premium Barksdale Missile No. 6, the stolen nuclear weapon, then all threads. Hang on. X-ray to Cobra 3, X-ray to Cobra 3, what the hell's going on out there?
Squad of MPs just sent your way.
Are they hitting the Maya 20?
They've got some brass riding with them. Colonel, too, and he's pissed. I think they made you, man.
Okay, everybody, execute escape plan Delta Alpha Bravo. Repeat, Delta Alpha Bravo. I gotta go, guys.
Move, move! Where in the hell are they? Get a light down here! United States Military Police, open up! United States Military Police, open this door!
break it down!
Back room splitter! There's nobody in here!
Hey, there's a hatch back here!
Perimeter team, they're on the move!
And somebody cut that damn signal!
Wow! I mean, I told you, you know, it blows me away. And here's my question, John.
All right.
What the hell's he doing on a military base?
I don't know, but I certainly hope that maybe he'll let us know, maybe in a future recording, what the hell were you doing on that military base, Agent X? That's wild.
Maybe he's looking for those Barksdale missiles.
You never know. You never know.
Hey.
We have a lot of great thread discussions that we're going to be doing here in just a little while. But before we do that, I want to just remind our listeners and members alike that we have a very special episode, our next episode, as a matter of fact, that is going to be featuring you, my friend, Dave Rabbit, who is going to be interviewing Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, in fact, right after we put this show up, the interview is going to pretty much happen pretty quick after that, and we're going to put it up on show 42 this week, so that's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a really neat thing, and going to ask her a buttload of member questions from the AboveTopSecret.com membership.
And we want to thank all the members and listeners alike that posted your questions for Dave to ask Ms. MacLaine, and we'll look forward to that episode. We have a special guest that joins us a little later on.
Yep, sure do.
And so without really giving it away, unless they've actually read, you know, some of our members like to read.
Nobody reads our show copy, John. They just click
Well,
play,
if you've read the show copy, then you know who our mystery guest is. And so let's get right to it.
ATS Mix. Thread discussion from AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, John, you know, there's so much going on, especially with Al Gore's Grammy and whatever, and Emmy and Oscar for...
Hey,
you know,
did you, you know he invented the internet?
Yeah, I also know that one of our esteemed colleagues now, the fake Ross Perot, said that that was BS.
Wow.
But anyway, you know, I mean, he's come up with all these videos and stuff, of, you know, and he's gotten all these accolades and stuff on global warming. And it's by the Above Top Secret member, Trader on Wall Street. It's the biggest scam in history. I am amazed, appalled, and highly offended by it. Global warming, it is a scam. Some dastardly scientists with environmental and political motives manipulated long-term scientific data to create an illusion of rapid global warming. Other scientists of the same environmental wacko type jumped into the circle to support and broaden the research to further enhance the totally slanted, bogus global warming claims. Their friends in government steered huge research grants their way to keep the movement going. Soon they claim to be a consensus. And he has just like a buttload of different shortcuts to it. And then he does an immediate follow-up of what he says. And he says, I have said it over and over again. People need to wake up on this, and else you're going to wake up to taxes like you have never seen before. The government does not care about global warming. What they care about is the all-new green that taxes they can level on you. I read all your postings, and I can't believe that you don't see it. Now, he's making his statement to everybody that's responded to his thread. Everyone rants and raves about government getting involved in everyday life and controlling things, yet you all are more than willing to give up your lifestyles to the government intervention and then happily pay new taxes. Please, 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 wake up, people. The scam is even bigger than the whole Y2K thing. And then he responds a third time to himself before anybody even has a chance to jump in there. What? No environmentalist out there screaming today? Usually I have 10 nasty responses by now. And then I guess after he posts that, then there's a foray of people that have come in. And NYK537, he says, nothing nasty here. I agree. I've been saying the whole thing for a long time. There is no global warming. The government's just preying on the public's inability to research things and know the truth. Essen Cloud Watcher, U.S. government disinformation agent, says, it'd make more sense if it hadn't taken politicians two decades to catch up and jump on the global warming bandwagon. That said, I do despair at the continuing obsession with carbon emissions. It would be interesting to see what happens over the next decade when the globe continues not to warm, and maybe even cools, and yet the effects of anthropologic climate changes worsen. The scam isn't from the scientists, it's from the politicians and so-called environmentalists who not only read the full story and misrepresent everything that they see, but exactly what's happening to the public. What's your position, John, on, you know, I know you're kind of not an environmentalist as far as a raging environmentalist, but I mean, I know you care about planet Earth, as do I. What's your take on this being a scam?
Well, you are correct. I'm not an eco green raging terrorist or anything like that, but I am concerned with where we sit in this big blue marble we call home or the Earth. I want to just briefly bring a little history back into our listeners and members' heads, which is, do you recall years ago when we had all the fluorocarbons in our hairspray and all the other canisters and all the other stuff that was going on, right? And we were saying, or I say we, I'm the scientist or whomever, were saying, hey, you know, the fluorocarbons and all that, that's going to create a hole in the ozone, and it's going to create damage in the long run. And everybody was doing basically the same thing that they're doing here with the global warming. No, 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 that's not going to happen. That can't happen. And now we're finding, yep, that hole's not only there, but it's continuing to get larger.
Right.
So I have a tendency to think that there are always going to be the naysayers that are going to say, no, that's not true. That will never happen, you know, or they'll say, we'll come up with science that'll be able to rectify and change the direction that things are going. I am going to say that I believe that global warming is true, and I'll tell you why. The reason why I think global warming is true is because even regardless, excuse me, if we were doing anything to really screw up this planet, which, by the way, in my opinion, in Johnny's opinion, we're doing a pretty damn good job of it.
Right.
I believe that there are other factors involved here that would create a warmer temperature on our planet, which I believe may actually also be part of its natural physical event scenario that it has to, not necessarily has to go through, but will go through. And that is the aligning of planets. We know that there is a magnetic pull when you have all the planets lined up and whatnot. Well, that's got to throw our orbital trajectory of the planets off a little bit as we're circling the sun. Remember, years ago, we didn't think that we circled the sun, that perhaps the sun circled us. So, you know, I think that perhaps we have reached a point to where our Earth is getting ready to, or not getting ready to, it has been changing its orbital path into more of an elliptical type path and getting us possibly a little bit closer to the sun. I also think, and NASA backs this up, that, you know, we're getting ready to do a pole shift. Actually, it's already been going on, but that possibly by the year 2012, which for some reason, why does everybody pick 2012? Could it be the Mayans? That there's going to be, you know, south will become north, north will become south and all that. And that's why birds right now are having a hard time being able to migrate because they're losing their sense of direction. And I think there are a lot of things that we still don't understand about this Earth that we supposedly have been living on for such a long time that a lot of people just don't want to accept certain things. And so we'll continue to be naysayers and say that it's not happening, or say, oh, you know, cows put out a lot more emissions than your car does. And so I'm going to keep driving my car until we kill all the cows.
You sound like Fozzie Bear when you do that. I like that.
Well, I'll see if I can take care of that for you.
I think there are still a lot of things that we still don't understand, but are we contributing to it? Sure. Even if we didn't have this elliptical change here in our orbit with it getting hotter as we get perhaps closer to the sun in this trajectory, I think we still do way too much pollution. In fact, at one point in time, I recall watching this documentary when, you know, they have the Bronze Age and you have, you know, the Industrial Age. You have all these different ages through the history. If archaeologists are still around in thousands of years from now and look at the layers of history, we are going to be part of the Plastic Age. That's what we're going to be most noted for. Wow, this part of human existence,
they had an awful lot of plastic.
There you go. I used that little voice for you again.
I love that.
So anyway, yeah, people, you know, if you would just, as I go off on a little echo tangent, yes, I am. If you would just take and grab one. Thank you. If you'll go and replace one bulb, one incandescent light bulb with one of them little twisty bulbs, don't give me any crap about it having mercury and stuff in it. I can tell you that you've got more mercury floating around your house that you know, being formerly in the electronics business. So just replace one of those bulbs. And believe it or not, you're going to save yourself a little bit on your electrical bill. And my tangent
is through now, Dave.
Well, I got to say one last thing, though. And, you know, we did a thread discussion some months ago about that very thing, about the squiggly light bulbs as opposed to the other ones. I have to say that I have seen a reduction in our utility bills here at the Rabbit House household, because I virtually have changed almost all the ones that Bunny would let me do without beating the crap out of me.
Yeah,
and there is a difference. The ones that I put on the exterior, like for just security lights and stuff, I mean, they have yet to burn out, and they've been up there for months, and I mean, you know, and stay on quite a bit. So I mean, it's just amazing, you know, the benefits of the thing. Plus, as you said, John, I mean, if just everybody just did one bulb in their home, I mean, just everybody that has any kind of or can afford lighting nowadays just changes one bulb to that. I mean,
yeah.
Boy, you could probably light up New York City for several months, if not even years, on the energy save. So, yeah, I think it's definitely something that needs to be looked at. And as far as the climate goes and whatever, to quote a famous fake person that we have become very good friends with, the fake...
No, you've become very good friends with. I haven't.
Yeah. Well, it's only because the fake Ross Perot lives across the street from me. But to quote a famous fake Ross Perot about global warming, I think he believes the same thing, and that is that it is a scam to a degree. And I have to agree with Johnny, mainly because he reads more books than I, but I have to agree with him anyway because it just makes logical sense to me that I think a lot of what's happening with the Earth right now and the warming and everything else is affected by the way the planets are shifting and all the other things that are going on that are completely out of our hands. But as I say, that said, it doesn't hurt not to try to make it a little bit easier for the planet by trying to be a little bit smarter in the things that we do ecology-wise.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
Well, hello, boys. How you doing today? It's good to be back with you on the podcast.
Great. It's good to have you, boss.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to try to do this as regular as possible on a weekly basis, hopefully, and cover a handful of topics that seem to be important that our members are talking about, looking at some of the most replied threads in the conspiracy channels of ATS, and in a couple of cases look in depth into the topic, and then maybe just toss it out for our roundtable between the three of us. So how's that sound?
Sounds good.
Well, this first one is the from the ever-present topics of 9/11 conspiracy theories. And I guess it's cut from the general cloth of this evolving and increasingly popular no planes theory, where a handful of people started saying that there really were no airplanes crashing into the buildings in New York. And it's just exploding. Well, not really exploding, but building from there.
Right.
And the thread is titled, "How Does Aluminum Cut Steel?" And this is the newest in a long-running example, I think, of how many of these people in the 9/11 truth seem either unable to accept information that refutes their theories, which sometimes these theories they have come across more as beliefs, or are purposefully pushing forward over and over and over and over again material that has long since been rebuked. And sometimes it's hard to tell if they're just not getting it or if they're on purpose giving us information that supports their theories. And I think in this thread, we sort of see a clue as to what's going on.
Right.
But it wasn't by the original poster. It was BlueJ33 started this thread. It's 10 pages now, and I'm sure you've almost always seen this near the top of the recent posts over the past few days.
Right.
And he starts out by saying, It has always troubled me how a lighter aluminum alloy cut the external steel grid of the World Trade Center like a hot knife going through butter. Watching the picture of construction in the 70s, these things were large and strong. The facade was weak, yes, but the steel behind it was thick and strong. Well, the thread goes on, and we have a lot of discussions back and forth, and a lot of members rightfully talk about kinetic energy and the impact and the physics involved. But we see something interesting develop later in the thread. I think it's in the ninth page. Someone who was supporting that proposition that the airplanes actually couldn't cut through the building actually posted a video that accidentally showed what he claims to be impossible, an aircraft fuselage penetrating a dense structure at high speed.
Wow.
Yes, and when one of the members called him out, what did he do? He didn't concede the point. He deleted the video.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting problem that we struggle with on a daily basis, not just on ATS, but on the entire spectrum of websites that support conversations about conspiracies. Is, you know, the only way we're going to have any credibility when we speculate about these conspiracy theories is to admit we're wrong when we're wrong. And I've just seen over the years so much of that focused in the 9/11 truth camp, which makes me feel that they're invested more in their theory, whether it's right or wrong, than they are in the truth.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you on that one.
Although I have to admit I learned a few things from reading this particular thread, because I did not know that birds could actually go through the aluminum in a jet. And there were some members that had posted some photographs of just that, of some birds that were all mangled and had gone through part of the wing structure. And I found that extremely interesting, because I didn't think that was actually possible.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point, because this thread really is a... although it's growing, I think it's into 12 pages now, but it still is a rather concise case study, because there is a lot of history of this evidence of somebody putting out that proposition, and then just the back and forth of a lot of information that shows that it is possible. I mean, you know, one of the great examples is, you know, the use of a really high speed water jet to cut steel.
Right.
A lot of steel fabrication shops have these elaborate machines where a water jet is cutting steel to prefab shapes in the computer. And right. You know, in some cases, that steel is over 3/4 of an inch thick. So water is pretty soft.
But they added. But I know this from a fact from actually working in a sign company at one time, and they had a machine such as this, and they add an abrasive to the water. And that's how they're actually able to cut into that steel. It's not the water per se, although it is under an extreme a lot of pressure, but the abrasive they add to it is actually doing most of the cutting.
It's kind of like sandblasting, isn't it?
In a way, yeah.
High-speed sandblasting in a solution, I guess, huh?
Right.
Well, anyway, that was a good example of what's happening on the 9/11 conspiracy side. And I'm probably going to take a lot of heat after the... 9/11 truth people listen to this podcast, although I don't think you're listening to you guys anymore, because you know that's just how it is.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but we're despised by most of the forum.
as am I, so there you go.
Well, we're in good company. There you go.
Yeah, so the next one really caught my attention, because this is caught fire not just on ATS, but on a lot of websites and blogs out there. Is, you know, there's been a lot of stories in the news. And the thread, the news thread on ATS is titled, Children Herded Like Cattle for Forced Vaccinations. And right. Apparently some parents in Maryland were resisting the state-sponsored vaccination program. And the response of the state was to forcibly order compliance. Right. Have you guys seen this thread?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had heard about that. And what I found amazing is that the people that were their contention was that they didn't want to do that were viewing it from a conspiracy standpoint on the vaccination, which I think there's a video somewhere on one of these that shows an Australian news team basically doing an undercover story on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's long been speculation in conspiracy circles about the strange cocktail of crap that goes into some of these vaccinations.
Right.
And because of that, the reaction throughout the discussion on ATS and this thread has been one, you know, spanning the spectrum from revulsion to even thoughts of violent resistance if it were to come to that.
I was just going to mention that because of what you just said here, I just happened to notice in the general conspiracy discussions, another member by the name of Stomp K had actually posted their own thread, his or her own thread, saying, no, I will not vaccinate my children.
That's right, exactly.
So it's interesting how that had actually evolved into a whole different sidebar.
And speaking of the sidebar, I was really fascinated and pleased to see several members going off into a sidebar. You know, while there's lots of NWO-styled, you know, New World Order kind of responses to this issue, but a few astute members have pointed out the root cause probably has more to do with the exceptionally strong and politically entrenched pharmaceutical industry than any desire to impose martial control over these immunizations.
Right. Yeah.
So it's nice to see that that has branched out that way. You know, as you know, there's a whole bunch of money made by a long list of well-connected companies who have also been identified as very well-connected to literally every leading and not-so-leading presidential candidate from both parties.
Exactly.
By forcing, there's a lot of money to be made by these people by forcing these annual cocktails of pharmaceuticals on everyone from kids to the elderly.
Right.
And when I saw a lot of our members going in that direction, I did some research, and it's really rather hard to find out. And you know, I don't have the time to do this, but I think it's worthy. If the members who are involved in this thread are hearing this podcast, I'd like to see if we can pull together some research as to how much money really is involved in this massive spectrum of vaccinations. What I did find out, in 2005, the U.S. government spent just over $2 billion just for the flu vaccines.
Wow.
That's just for the flu vaccines used in this country. That and we know from looking at what's going on in the schools and the immunizations that are required, there's a lot more than just the flu vaccine going on.
Right.
So there's a lot of money here. And is, you know, the question that came up well in that thread is leading to the thought that, is this less to do with, you know, that martial control, and more to do with keeping the money flowing into the politically well-connected pharmaceutical companies?
It really stinks of in that direction too.
Right, and that's a really interesting conspiracy angle that I hope to see some of our members run with and take it to the next level.
Well, let's hope that the members get behind that.
Yes, yeah, I'd like to see what happens out of that, because as you know, there's just too much money going on.
Well, this next one I'm really anxious for you to talk about, because this just really burns my Crispies.
Yeah, the girl who committed suicide because of being harassed on MySpace.
Right.
And there's a lot of news on this. There's actually a few threads in ATS. The one that I picked out happens to be in the Breaking Alternative News Forum, titled "Town to Vote on Online Harassment After Girl's MySpace Suicide." And just for the listeners, some may not know the backstory, although it's all over the news. Apparently some parents were concerned about the goings-on MySpace of some of their kids. And, you know, the actual reasoning is hard to fathom. But they decided to get online and engage in chats with a 13-year-old girl and pose as a teenager. These were adults, yeah, posing as a teenager. And it ended up being harassment, and the adults just didn't really understand how seriously these kids take their online relationships.
Chatting. Yeah,
right.
And she committed suicide over the harassment that the adults were engaged in. So they didn't understand how important the medium was, and the kids were just taking it too seriously. So you got those two sides, but really in the end, This poor girl took her own life because of it. And now the overreaction that has happened is that the town has voted to make online harassment illegal as a result of what's been happening in this story. And the wording that I've seen is rather broad. It essentially says, and I don't have the exact wording here, but it essentially says anything that would reasonably cause stress in a teenager, and they define that as I believe anyone 15 or younger, right, in this law, undue stress, and they left it at that.
But you know, yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, this thing just really angers me, Bill, and I want to tell you why it does.
Sure.
You know, I am so sick of seeing all this crap in the news about, you know, people did this and people did that and this, that, and the other stuff. You know, I understand about having teenagers, and I understand about peer pressure, and I understand all that stuff. But what really angers me is that an adult did this. It wasn't another kid. It was a mother that was jealous or whatever her ulterior motives were and decided to screw with this kid's brain. And that broad needs to be nailed, my opinion.
Well, there's, yes, absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, that's beyond, that's almost, if you want to think about it, is it's, you know, it's emotional rape is what's going on.
Exactly.
Here. And, but on the other hand, what were this girl's parents doing?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
There's the other side of the coin in, you know, parents seem to be shirking their responsibilities lately of not making sure that, you know, their kids are, not preventing them from going on MySpace, but just, you know, engaging in conversations to make sure that, you know, they're not taking it too seriously, so the parents know what's going on. I mean, would this, if everything had happened the same, would her reaction be differently if her parents were engaged in a better conversation about what she's doing online?
Right.
I mean, that's, you don't know. You'd like to think it would be. And, you know, in our society, we're seeing a lot of the other side of that coin is a lot of the parents are, I think, are shirking their responsibilities in knowing and understanding what their kids are up to.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole idea behind this, from what I gathered on from watching it on the news, it's so petty on the other end of the spectrum, because the parents that were actually pretending to be a teenager were just trying to find out if the young teenager girl that committed suicide was talking about their daughter.
Right.
She took it too far, John. I mean, she started screwing with the...
I understand that, Dave. That's what I'm saying. How stupid it is on that other end that a parent would stoop to that level to do that, to pretend to be a teenager, just to find out if the girl that committed suicide was talking about their daughter.
Yeah, but you can sit there and say, but I understand, and I know we're in agreement, we're not arguing about the point, but you can say that about every single thing that's out there. I mean, child pornographers do the same exact thing online every single day, and who stops it? You know, where do you draw the line? You know, I mean, things like this, when it involves kids committing suicide that have a life in front of them that they have not even begin to tap, you know, it just drives me crazy. It just really tears me apart when I see this kind of stories. It really upsets me.
I agree. We want to get to the conspiracy side of this. There's a dark side that we see continually developing. And, you know, you mentioned the child pornography, and this is one thing. And, you know, the predators, we see that, what is it, the TV show where you see the predators, you know, getting the girls online, and they're doing the sting in the girls' house, supposedly.
Right.
And there's this uproar of all this activity focused on the internet that, right, you know, it's dangerous out there, kids. Right. And here's another one where it's dangerous out there, kids. And it's every time this happens, you can conceive of another chink in the privacy armor, another chink in the rights armor of, you know, just more reasons to chip away at our rights and the abilities of what we can do and communicate online. Individually, you know, this one particular story, you know, you can react and say, "Wow, yeah, something should be done." But in the entire spectrum of things, you know, As you line up all these something should be done's stories, I mean, will that end up harming the rights that we're currently enjoying online, like with an ATS and being able to speak freely?
Right.
If you take what has happened here in this town, where they passed a law that it's illegal for an adult to engage a minor in conversation that might cause undue stress, and that's essentially the wording of the law, well, could that be extended? I mean, if all these chinks in the armors continue to happen, could that be extended to you, Dave, talking accidentally to someone who happens to be under 15 on ATS about New World Order conspiracies, and they get undue stress because they're worried about this New World Order business going on?
Right, right.
But now, now I have to ask this. Now, does Dave know that he's talking to a 15-year-old?
No, you don't. And that's part of the law, which has not been properly identified, which they passed, is they haven't clearly defined you knowing
the parameters
that you're doing this to a miner.
Well, yeah. And this is just a minor sidebar, but I've got to do this because I'd be remiss if I don't. Do you think, Bill, in your opinion, and I mean you've been around the boards for a long, long time, do you think that there's a secret agenda going on that brings to people's view things that makes them paranoid about things to where they hope one day to restrict what we now enjoy on the internet?
I think that's possible. I have not seen enough to make me come out and say, yes, I think there is an agenda. Anecdotally, I think there's enough information and enough things happening and enough overreaction to stories like this that would make you, you know, sit back and think, you know, it's possible. We haven't yet seen, and you know how I am. I like to be very definitive about these conspiracy speculations. I don't like to go out on the limb too much. I like to really have some evidence about this stuff. And that's why I back off in saying yes, but it's possible. I really do think that there's enough happening that is attempting to curtail what we enjoy. I mean, right here in Connecticut, not long ago, there was a referendum on information that can be portrayed on social networking websites, and it was lauded as one of the first real efforts by the Connecticut State Attorney General to clamp down on the sharing of information of minors on social networks, and MySpace and Facebook were targeted. And it was a huge law, and I think the law was passed. And now that attorney general is going across to other states, but he's getting some resistance. But here's the crazy thing. In the news articles about the story and about the law, they announced that, well, no one from MySpace came and no one from Facebook came and no one from the social networks came to our public meeting. Right. But they only announced the public meeting the day before.
Yeah.
I saw that one coming.
That's why it was empty. No one, you know, no one knew about it until the last minute. And, of course, they couldn't come. So when you hear a story like that, you certainly do think that there could be an agenda to try to pull back some of the freedoms that we are, freedom of communication that we're enjoying the internet. Well, the next one is really interesting, and I've read a bit of the thread, but really I'd just like to toss this one out to discussion like we did the last one. It's in the General Conspiracies Forum, and the title of the thread is Healthy Eating Only for the Rich. And this is really interesting because if you think about it, I mean, you know, this has sort of been in the back of your head for a long time, the fact that it's almost impossible for our poor to eat well.
Right.
And if you look at the food, the kind of food that our government is subsidizing, it's not the healthy stuff.
Right.
Right.
So what do you guys think about the problem? I mean, it has been proposed in this thread that it is sort of a method of, you know, even going way out there, population control by the New World Order planners to kill off the poor. And, I mean, extending it to that rather large thought isn't so hard when you start reading through the thread and realizing, yes, it's you can go to an urban grocery store, spend $100, and not get anything healthy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, John, why don't you lead us on this one?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dave. The one of the things that I especially liked was right in the very beginning on Enrique's, and I believe that's how you pronounce this member's name, he or she had a little graphic there that says, why does a salad cost more than a Big Mac? And it's true. When you gets boiled down to, you look at how cheap fast food is compared to food that is actually supposed to be good for you. And I recall, what was it? I guess about two or three years ago, there was a movie that came out about a gentleman that for 30 days, I believe it was for 1 month, all he did was eat fast food.
And yeah, I remember that.
He ended up gaining.
Yeah, supersized
that was it.
Me.
And he ended up gaining something like, oh my God, close to like 25 pounds or something like that. It was incredible. And the doctors were telling him, because part of the documentary was, you know, to keep an eye on him while he was doing all this. And the doctors were telling him, hey, you've got to stop. You've got to stop this little experiment because you're killing yourself. And so, yeah, I totally agree. I think that we have placed ourselves in a position to where we find it more convenient, I guess, to go for the cheaper food rather than go for the nutritious food. And part of that might be because the nutritious food costs more.
But, you know, now we have members at AboveTopSecret.com that have absolutely an opposite viewpoint, such as Flyer. No, it's only the lazy people who are fat. You can't make healthy meals for very little if you put a little time and effort into it. People would rather just have their own supersized Mac whatever. Even if they could only afford bad quality food, there's no excuse for eating the kind of portions these people would have to eat to get them that far overweight. Example, how many people do you see in the grocery store that are, you know, ample size? When you watch what they buy in the grocery store, and if they have a choice between, let's say, a bag of carrots or something, or lettuce or whatever, and let's say peanut butter, jelly, and bread, which one do they have in their basket? Well, my observation in the supermarket world is that fat people buy foods that are fatty. They don't buy healthy foods. And so you can say the same thing about anything in the world if you really want to do it. Bill, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I can see both sides to the argument. It is easy fall into quit buying something that's quick and easy. And, you know, the TV dinners, the frozen dinners, how long has it been since they've been called TV dinners? Oh, my God.
That's showing our age, isn't it?
Moving on. Yes, the frozen dinners are, you know, you stick those in. Oh, my God, when you look at the ingredients and the nutritional information, the amount of sodium and crap and fat in those things is just through the roof. But they taste good. That's part of the problem that we as a society are struggling, is our bodies have evolved to the point, you know, for whatever reason, as we were, you know, scrimping for food on the Serengeti, our bodies have evolved to the point where we love the taste of fat. We love the taste of sugar, these high-calorie things that we needed long, long ago, but we don't really need now.
Don't you also think, Bill, that a lot of that has to do with time and convenience? We live in a lot more hectic world now where everything's on a more tighter schedule, and I think a lot of people are substituting going for that frozen TV dinner because it can be made in 4 minutes, and they can be in and out, you know? I mean, we even have fast food places called In-N-Out Burger. I mean,
there was a place actually in Saigon, but it wasn't burgers.
Yeah, bum bum.
About, yeah, sorry.
But the point I was going to make is before I was interrupted by Mr. Anonymous.
Sorry,
but no, it does relate to what you brought up. If you look at these frozen dinners, you know, you're like $3, you know, for something from Boston Market for a couple slabs of a meatloaf and some mashed potatoes, but over there, probably way over on the other side of the store, not anywhere near those are alternatives. You can get the veggie burgers. That's like a couple of dollars for a pack of four of these veggie burgers, and we get these a lot, and they're fantastic. You cook them in the microwave, or you cook them on the stove, and there's a whole line of these alternatives that aren't that much more expensive, but they're on the opposite side of the store.
Right.
Sort of in this healthy section. And I think part of it also is just the way these a lot of times the stores are laid out, is where the healthy foods are over there in the corner, in the dark corner, and people just go right past them to the crap that's in the middle of the store. And that's part of it. But really, this issue has been discussed quite a bit in New York, and has been brought up from the standpoint of the opening post in this thread. In the local media in New York City, there has been a lot of concern that once you get into the poorer neighborhoods, the bodegas and the convenience stores, you go in and literally there's nothing healthy. Right, the healthiest thing you can get in there is maybe a Three Musketeers, and that's because it has less fat than Hershey's bar.
Well, if it was Snickers, I'd buy it. I hate Three Musketeers.
That's one of the things that you learned way back when I was bodybuilding. If you want chocolate, you go for Three Musketeers, because you get the chocolate flavor, but it has about half the fat of any other chocolate bar.
Now, see, I didn't know that. I like it. Well, I like Snickers because they're crunchy.
Right, but those, geez, the calories in a Snickers, that's a lot. But anyway, we're sidetracked.
We digress. So,
education of the Snickers bar.
That's right. Right.
But there is definitely, going back to the original item of this thread. There has been in some mainstream media a reflection of the concern of the original post that when you get into like the Bronx and in the poorer areas of the Brooklyn, it's really hard to find grocery stores that have right. anything healthy, much less fast food stores, and forget about that.
Right.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. Thank you.